It started. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful. Kindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created. Let us pray. O God, who did instruct the hearts of your faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant us that by the same Spirit we may be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolation through the same Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Our Lady of the Rosary.
Pray for us.
Saint Joseph.
Pray for us.
St. Teresa of Avila.
Pray for us.
St. Ignatius of Loyola. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good evening.
Good evening, Father.
Just make sure, can you all hear me well? In the back also?
Yeah.
Good. I don't want to be the way a priest got at the Mass and he said, there's something wrong with the microphone. The people said, and also with you. I've learned in time you can have the best message of the world, but the people don't hear you. It's not worth a hill of beans, no? How'd it go last week? Eye-opening, right? Very challenging, but if you do the exercises well, it works. So if you're faithful in these 10 weeks, you'll be a different person and you'll be much more holy. Have a much deeper relationship with God, so persevere. Today, we celebrate one of my favorite saints. Today, we celebrate St. Teresa of Avila today. So, let's ask her to be with us. A little bit of liturgical ecclesiology. She's the first woman doctor of the church. Pope Paul VI, 1970, then right after that, Catherine of Siena. And 27 years later, St. Therese. So given that Teresa of Avila, she's the doctor of prayer, let's ask her to be with us. What do you think? And ask her to help us to persevere in prayer. Probably the phrase I most quote from Teresa of Avila, I love Teresa of Avila, what a great saint, is this is the phrase I quote most. Debemos tener una determinada determinación para nunca dejar la oración. ¿Habla español? Es muy poético en español, ¿no? So if you know Spanish, it sounds better in Spanish than English because it's very poetic. But we have to have a determination to never give up prayer. That's what I said in Spanish. A determined determination. And that's why we're here. We want to establish a deep prayer life. A habit of prayer. So this week might be considered the most important week in these exercises, because this week we're going to prepare all of you to make a general confession. So that's the whole thrust of this week. to experience the infinite mercy of Christ through sacramental confession. So your meditations will be related to mercy, and then we'll give you an examination of conscience to prepare yourself well. I'd like to tell you a personal anecdote. My parents had 5 teenagers at the same time. I don't think there's anyone here that came close to having that, no? My parents are very open to having a big family, and they had child after child. I'm an Irish twin with my older brother, which means in February, I'm the same age as my brother. And then the end of March, he passes me for another 11 months. My parents, they had boy, 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 finally a girl, and her name is Victoria! Yay! So my first sister, her name is Victoria Ann. So I'm about 6 years older than her. Have any of you had any of you had children that are teenagers or they've gone through the teen years? No piece of cake, is it? No? So when my sister was a teenager, she went through a period of rebellion, and she simply didn't want to go to confession. And my mom is a trooper. She's very tenacious. My mom, 5 foot tall, 99 pounds, one of those people. But a real bulldog in the spiritual life. So she would invite my sister and then invite again, and then pray and offer up sacrifices. So one day, my sister said, I will go to confession, but under one condition, I don't want to go face to face. Because we knew the priest and he was a friend of the family. So my mom said, yeah, you can go behind the screen or you can go face to face. So doomsday arrived, and my sister, Vicky, went behind the screen, and this is what happened. She went behind the screen like this, and she said, Father, bless me for I've sinned. My last confession was 9 months ago, and the priest went like this. Oh, hi, Vicky. Priest shouldn't have done that, but he was such a friendly priest, and he knew the voice of my sister. Hi, Vicky. And from that time on, she's never had any problems in going to confession. The devil had her bound. But that I tell you that story because some of you will be tempted not to go to confession. I'll say, hi, Vicky. All right, so let's get down to the brass tacks of how to make a good general confession. Thanks be to God that we have probably 70% of you are doing the exercise for the first time, so you're the new guy in the block, so to speak. Praise the Lord. So when I say general confession, having studied English literature and English, I know the language pretty well. I'm always careful when I'm speaking that you don't misinterpret words. And do you know what it means to be ambiguous in English? I have been accused by... I've had people maybe criticize me on many things, but they've never ever said Father Broome is ambiguous. I tend to be overly blunt. So I just want to make sure when I say general, it doesn't mean generic or abstruse or abstract. But rather, a general confession is you make a confession of your whole life. That's what it means. I already see some of you blanching, almost panicking. Huh? This will be, for many of you, the best experience in your life. Amen?
Amen.
This will be the best experience in your life once you make this experience of the general confession. You remember 4 weeks ago, I spoke about St. Ignatius? And I spoke about his conversion in Pamplona. Then he became a pilgrim, and he heads toward Montserrat, and then Manresa. So in Montserrat, he made his general confession. And that was probably among the most important experiences he had in his life. His conversion was ongoing. That was probably the center of his conversion. So you're privileged to make this general confession. So to encourage you, I don't know if you understand, when you have two priests up there saying Mass, there are two Masses. Father Stephen had the intention for the parishioners, but I had a free intention. I offered it for you.
Thank you, Father.
What?
Thank you, Father.
You're welcome. And I offered it all for you, specifically for your confession. Say thank you, Father.
Thank you, Father.
You're welcome. So that was my specific intention when I celebrated the Mass, that all of you will really make the best confession in your life, and God will hear my prayer because I'm asking it with faith. Faith that can move the mountains. All right, now the general confession, I'd like to just explode some of the erroneous ideas or myths because you may not understand or why we should do it. So I'll give you the reasons why you should do it. Let me give you some, I think, pretty convincing and clear reasons why. The first reason I'm going to tell you is, for me, this trumps all of them, is because St. Ignatius says we should do it. That's good enough for me. If you have someone like Teresa of Avila or John Paul II, or Ignatius says that we should do it, for me that's good enough because he's the master. I'm one of his disciples. Okay, so that's, for me, that's a convincing reason. Now, the second reason is this. I was born at the tail end of a period of really good catechesis. I was able to receive the catechesis, the Baltimore Catechism. Remember that? Some of you are maybe my age, no? Okay, so I was born in the mid-50s, and I caught the tail end of about the best catechesis we've had in our country. from the 30s up to the early 60s, the catechesis was really good. And I caught the tail end of it. And then after the council and a lot of misinterpretations, and I admire the fact that Father Stephen in the parish is teaching the documents of Vatican II. That's huge. It's really beautiful. I really admire what he's doing in this parish, going through two of those documents of Vatican II. Documents that you probably never... There are 16 documents. The four key documents would be Sacrosanctum Concilium, Dei Verbum, Gaudium et Spes, and Lumen Gentium. But those are two documents that are very important also. But since Vatican II and misinterpretations as a whole, the catechesis has been a disaster. As a whole. And I'm not being cynical or negative, it's just the truth. Look at your children that are 30 or 40 or maybe even the early 50s. I mean, they probably don't know anything about their faith. Because Fulton Sheen, you've heard of Fulton Sheen, he says that the 13th century was the age of faith with Aquinas and scholasticism. And the 17th, 18th century was the age of reason. Okay. But he says the 20th and the 20th century is the age of feelings. Right? Fulton Sheen was a prophet. Do you know what that means? Maybe the younger generation don't understand. Feelings mean... When I was a kid, Baltimore, what is the truth? Now it is, what do you feel like? What do you feel like? Remember that rock and roll song, Yummy, Yummy, Got Love in My Tummy? Remember that one? Basically, that type of catechesis. And the banners and balloons and bozo. Remember that? The three B's, huh? So there's been a very weak catechesis the past 55 years. And that, of course, that includes very weak formation of the conscience. Very weak formation of the conscience. And that, of course, means a very weak formation in the sacrament of confession. So now you have the opportunity to make the best confession in your life. The best confession in your life. This is the golden opportunity. All right. You're all listening? Okay, right now I'm going to say something. I'm going to say it with a lot of love, but try to follow my reasoning now in... This could be, for some of you, the most important reason for making a general confession. Okay, how many of you here are married? Don't be ashamed, okay? Hispanic casado o cansado. All right. To think about your wedding day and think about the week or the 2 weeks or the month before it. Okay, what were you thinking about the week before you got married? Were you thinking more about the sacramental part or the social part of your marriage? Be honest. Come on, be honest. The social part, right? Not to say that the social part doesn't have its value. But many are thinking about the guests coming in and the banquet hall and the cake and the wedding dress. All those details But I wondered how many couples, before they get married, make a really good confession within a week before they got married. Hey, fat chance. Yeah. And what happens often before marriage? Fornication, premarital sex, maybe missing mass, maybe a bachelor's party, maybe taking some drugs. You hear me? And then you get married without going to confession. What does that mean? It's very serious, but I'm saying with a lot of love. I think that this is one of the biggest problems in the church today, what I'm saying. What's going to happen on your wedding day? Double sacrilege, right? Okay, you missed Mass and you had relations with your fiancé. Okay, one time. Maybe it was 100 times. No? And you don't go to confession. You're in what state? Be honest. Okay, so these exercises, we have to be honest. And don't lie to yourself. I know it's very difficult. We can lie, we can rationalize, we can intellectualize. Everyone's doing it. God is mercy, God is love, God understands. Those are lies from the devil. They are. It's rationalizing. Rationalize is another way for saying you're lying. You're lying to yourself. But you can't lie to God. So consequently, the day you get married, it's a double sacrilege. Now, if you come to me, I've created many programs. Many. This is one of my best, if not the best, the Ignatian program. I've created a lot of programs. I have a blessing. I'm in a parish for many years. So when you're there for many years, you can create programs and follow up and get teams and get helpers. Those who get married under my supervision, they have to make a good sacramental confession over my dead body, as we say in New York. But this is, you know, this is a rarity. Now explain. If you're going to get married in my parish, okay, you have to learn NFP, you make the marriage retreat, then I connect you with a mentoring couple who've been married for 25 years. You're seeing that couple every week for a year. So you've got more than 50 meetings. You hear me? This is the only one maybe in LA, but all my programs are demanding. I'm known as the tough priest, no? I'm known as the toughie, because I don't want to be responsible for your divorce. I don't. I will bend over backwards to prepare you for your sacrament. Once you're married, I've done my part. I've done my part. And if you don't want to collaborate on the day of judgment, you take it up with Jesus, okay? I've done my part. So this mentoring couple, what they prepare the fiancés, or many are living together, to make their good general confession before they're married. That's why I'm usually confessing 4 to 5 hours every day. Most priests are half an hour a week, right? But not every day. Because I know it's so important. Ever since I was ordained, I will spend all my free time preaching or confessing. For that reason, my founder said the oblate should be found dead in the pulpit or the confessional. Amen. May that be the case. One day you're confessing to me, and there's a long silence. Father Broome, let's call 911. No? Too late. Okay, now, after you're married, there's tension. There's tension. You're not at peace. You're fighting with your spouse. First baby's born, and you're fighting even more. The second comes around, more fighting. The third, you're fighting, and after 10 years, you're separated. You never received the sacramental grace of marriage. Are you following me? And I'm saying this out of a lot of love, because I really want the best for all of you. And someone has to say this. There has to be a book written on this. Maybe that'll be my next book. There has to be a book written on this. No one says this. And to be honest with you, I think that I myself have a very well-formed conscience, and I would say a delicate conscience. That's the conscience of the saints. I haven't arrived at that, but I think my conscience is very delicate. Okay. So we don't want to be lying to ourselves. Okay. Say, for example, this is the case. You're married for 20 years. Oh, you're right, Father. I mean, I was fornicating. I got drunk. I looked at pornography. I had one of those bachelor party. I had that too. I knew it was really wrong. So you maybe have a lot of these mortal sins that were never confessed. And you have been going to church for 20 years, but you've never really been at peace. You've never really been at peace. There's always been this uneasiness, this lack of peace in your heart. Praise the Lord for these exercises. Praise the Lord for these exercises. That's what I'm saying. This week should be the happiest day in the life for many of us. And it will be. Because I've already offered that in my Mass, and God will hear my prayer. I believe it. Ask and you receive. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be open. I asked like a little child. I believe Jesus heard my prayer. And He's going to give you so many graces, your head is going to spin. Okay, I'm saying that with a lot of love, because I want all of you to go to heaven. And the last thing I want for me, and the last thing I want for you, is to go before Jesus with unconfessed sin. That scares the living daylights out of me. I don't want to go before the Lord with unconfessed sin. And I don't think you want that either. You want to go before the Lord with sins confessed and washed clean by the blood of the Lamb. The Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Okay, so what I'm going to do now is I'm going to go through the basic catechetical steps of making a good confession. But I'd like to precede this by, I don't do this too often, but I'm going to give you a little bit of theology. Don't be afraid of that word, okay? A little bit of theology. Sacramental theology. And if you're taking notes, you might even write this down. It's called the dispositive sacramental grace. Or you can write down the grace of disposition. The dispositive sacramental grace. Or grace of disposition. Okay, I'll try to be as clear as possible. But if you people receive the sacraments, it's very important you understand this theological principle. The graces that you receive in the sacrament, it depends on you and your disposition. The better the disposition you have, the more abundant the graces. I read this and I heard it more than once, and you might think that this is an exaggeration, but one sacramental communion could make you a saint. I believe it. One sacramental confession could make you a saint. The fault is not in the sacrament, but in the recipient of the sacrament. Okay, we just celebrated Mass. Quite a few people in Mass. Everyone who came up to receive the Eucharist had a different disposition. Only God could read the heart of that individual. Only God could read the heart of the individual. Okay, I'll explain. Okay, someone comes into Mass 10 minutes late. During the Mass is thinking about Domino's pizza, what he's going to have afterward. He's looking around at the people during the Mass, goes up and receives communion, and leaves even before the final blessing. That person was in the state of grace, but you see, came in late, was not paying attention, thinking about dinner afterward, looking at the lady with the funny hat, and, okay. Got that? Another person comes in a half hour before the Mass, or an hour before the Mass, makes his holy hour before the Mass, is placing all his desires on the altar. After Mass, he spends a half hour praying the Rosary of the Chapel of Divine Mercy with fervor. Is there a difference between those two different people? Light years difference. Light years difference. The first person, is going to receive something, but little. That other person is going to be like a deluge of graces. I felt as if I really said a fervent Mass. I arrived half hour early, often I'm not able, and I was just praying for you. I was praying for half hour before the Mass, placing everything on the altar, even though I was a little bit tired. I was really trying to prepare myself for Mass, and I think I got a lot of graces. A lot of grace, because I was really with my friends. We said three rosaries on the way here. Okay. The chaplet, so all of this in preparation for Mass. So I was preparing myself for Mass, and I think my Mass is very fervent. But I hope Mass to say tomorrow is going to be even more fervent. Until I die of love. That's my desire, to die of love. Love for the Eucharist, love for the Mass. Okay, do all of you understand that principle? Maybe you've heard it before, maybe not that way explained, but it's very important. It's called dispositive grace. Now you have to apply that to confession. Now apply that principle to the confession that you're all going to make. Okay, to make your confession now, we're going to be giving you an examination of conscience, a little booklet. We're going to give you something that I wrote also. You're going to have like two different schemes. But you'll rely especially upon the little booklet that we'll be giving to you. I've written another one, which I think is the best, but it doesn't have the imprimatur yet. And my superiors have said I can't give it out, so I have a vow of obedience, no? But I hope that mine, I think, is much better because it's modern. But I have to say a prayer that will get the stamp of approval, the imprimatur, and then I got this. And at once, I think it'll sell like pancakes. From Argentina all the way up to Canada, because it's Spanish and English, but it's 24 pages too. But I think it's really well written, but I will never do anything if it's not under obedience. I'll never do anything if it's not under obedience. Because God will never bless you if you're disobedient. You hear me? The fact that I'm suffering that I can't give it, I'm receiving grace because of my suffering and obedience. Really. I'm being honest with you. If you obey, God will bless you. If you disobey, that's pride. God will not bless you. Even if you can work miracles or raise the dead. No? So pray for a humble heart, humble, obedient heart. All right, your preparation. I've been giving these exercises, Mary, 17 years? 18? Okay, I've been doing these exercises for 18 years. That's quite a bit. We probably had a good 18,000 people. During the pandemic, I did it for Couples for Christ online. We had 4,000 to 5,000 people online doing it during the pandemic. The Filipino group, Couples for Christ. So a lot of people have gone through these exercises. A lot. A lot. Okay, when we arrive at the gender confession, okay, most people spend the whole morning, most people spend 4 to 5 hours preparing. A few of you have done the exercises, you probably say, okay, you gave a good block of time. So I would suggest you're going to have a good week to prepare. Is give yourself a good block of time in which you're not going to be disturbed. You know what happens to a lot? You're alone, you're praying. Yeah, the Holy Spirit, it's almost as if the movie of your life comes back. And the Holy Spirit helps you to see the movie of your life, even though it's somewhat painful, seeing certain things that you inadvertently, but maybe purposely you didn't want to see. Now the Holy Spirit is rewinding that film for you, and then you start to write down your sins. But if you don't give yourself time, and silence, and a block of time, you're not going to do it. So give yourself a block of time. By now you know yourself. I'm a morning person. I'm a morning person. I know myself. Get up about 5, okay? If I get up about 5 and I do my holy hour and I have a good cup of coffee, you give me an hour or two, I can write really well. I can write a really good blog article, and mentally I'm very alert. Very alert in the morning. If you ask me to do something like 9 o'clock at night, I'm useless. But other people, probably the young people here, most university students, it's at night. Even when I went to Villanova, I'd get up early and go to bed, 11 o'clock. I could never do this all night. I could never do it. I would usually be prepared for the exams a week before. I didn't like to cram. It goes in one ear and out the other. No, I mean, it's a rarity, but that's just the way I was educated, not to put things off until the last moment. Because we got 24 hours in the day. It's a matter of my book, right? Did somebody read my book? Ordering Your Life. So some of you might be like me. You're morning persons. But if you're not, give yourself 4 hours. A good cup of coffee. And you're in front of the Blessed Sacrament or in your room. And then you're examining your conscience. All right. Now, to make an examination of conscience, you're going to be giving the booklet, There are five classical steps to make a good confession. But it have to precede this by specifying, clarifying, okay, what is a mortal sin? Now, if you're my age, you were taught what a mortal sin is, but the younger generation, no. Younger generation never even heard the terminology of a mortal sin. And I've thought, how can you make a good confession? How can you live at peace if you don't know what a mortal sin is? If you don't know if you're in mortal sin or not? I think you're always going to be living in tension. But if you know what a mortal sin is, you want to try to avoid it. And now when you go to confession, you have to mention the number of mortal sins. And I'm a real stickler on this. I'm a real stickler on this, because if you don't, your confession is incomplete. So mortal sin, three conditions. And they are, first is grave matter. Some of you probably never heard that before. Grave matter means it's something serious. If I come and I steal your pen, then I steal your Maserati afterward, okay? He's got this $500,000 Maserati from Milan, right? Okay. You don't know that's a $500,000 sports car, which is about the most expensive car you can get. Okay, stealing his pen, stealing his Maserati, is it the same? Are you Protestant or Catholics? Okay, if you're Protestant, there's no difference. But as Catholics, we have a clear distinction or line of delineation between a venial sin and a mortal sin. If I steal your pen, it's a venial sin. If I steal your Maserati, I mean, that's a mortal sin. Okay? So, something is serious, it's grave in the eyes of God. And St. John says, in his, there are some sins that lead to death, some sins are not, in the letters of St. John. So, grave matter. Okay, you have an impure thought and you don't reject it right away. You commit adultery against your spouse. Is it the same thing? Of course not. Having a bad thought and, you know, committing adultery against your spouse with another married man is a huge difference, right? So in the formation of conscience, we have to know what are the constitutive elements of mortal sin. Grave matter, full knowledge, and full consent to the will. That composes what is a mortal sin. Grave matter, full knowledge, full consent to the will, mortal sin. Now try to memorize that. In future confessions, that will be very helpful. Let's pray that we don't commit mortal sins. Let's pray that we don't. That's why we're here. By saying no to temptation, we say yes to the love of God. Okay, by saying no to temptation, we say yes to the love of God. Is that clear now? Okay, let's go through the five steps. Okay, I'll go through the five, then I'd like to spend a few minutes explaining all of them, so that you'll make the best confession in your life. First is examination of conscience. And those who are brought up and raised in the Baltimore Catechism, you remember this. The younger people know. Second is sorrow for sin. Sorrow for sin or contrition. The second is sorrow for sin or contrition. The third is firm purpose of amendment. Firm purpose of amendment. That's the third step. Okay, the fourth is confess your sins to the priest. And you have to tell the number and species of the mortal sin. I'll explain the whole idea of species a little bit later. The number and type. Confessing to the priest. You can't just confess directly to God. You got, you know, direct line to heaven. No, you got to go through the priest. The priest represents Christ. And the fifth step is to carry out the penance that was given to you. If you carry out those five steps, you have made a good confession, you receive absolution, and those sins are forgiven. What a blessing it is. For me as a priest, the two most important things I say every day are, take and eat, this is my body. Take and drink, this is my blood. And I absolve you of your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I didn't give you general absolution. So I think, good, we don't have to do it, Father. No. It's not that easy. Those are the two most important things I say every day. And I absolve you of your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Beautiful words, huh? How could these young men not want to become priests if they understood this? Maybe I'm just gullible or I'm naive, no? That's why I'm a priest. To be able to bring Christ down and give absolution, what's better than that? No good-looking babe can go beyond that, huh? Really? Let's pray for more priests. In our parish, we're doing a retreat for young men that may become priests, 11 of them. So this whole weekend, we're working with these young men trying to plant seeds for vocations. You people are dependent upon the priest, right? You're at the mercy of the priest in a certain sense. And as I get older, I'm keenly aware of it. I say it in all humility, no? That you depend upon us. And pray for us. Yes. You probably don't pray too much. Pray for us, no? You've got temptations, we've got 5 times more than you. No, probably 10 times more. You're in the skin of a priest, for one day you probably have a heart attack. No, really. Because the devil wants to knock us. We're the generals. He wants to knock us down. So, pray for priests that you get more. No priest, no mass. No mass, no consecration. No consecration, no communion. No communion, no Jesus. No Jesus, you are spiritual orphans. The Curia of Ars. You hear that? No priest, you're spiritual orphans. You're walking down the street without any pastor, without any shepherd, without any bread of life. Yes, hey, pray for these young men that are bowing their heads now with what I'm saying. No? I think probably there are young people that have vocations, but sometimes we have selective hearing. We only want to hear one thing, we go like this with the other ear. Selective listening. If God calls, He'll give you the grace. Believe it. I'm not worthy. Are you kidding? I'm not worthy. None of us are worthy. God will give you the grace if you say yes. I'm not worthy. I told my spiritual director, I'm not worthy to be a priest. He said, it doesn't matter. If God calls you, He'll give you the grace. Okay, I obey. Here I am. I'm not worthy. Are you kidding? No way. So those are the five steps. Let's go through them schematically, concisely. Okay, examination of conscience. You're going to be taking this booklet and just going through all of the commandments one at a time. And write, your general confession also is you have to write it down. Now all priests are different. I've heard some priests, they don't like that. Well, I disagree with that priest. Because we forget. You know, we forget. You know, you go in there, you get a little bit nervous. And the most important thing that you wanted to say, you forgot. So, if you write it down, you're not going to forget. But after you finish, don't put it on the kitchen table, no? So that your husband, wow, you did that. Wow. No. What I like to do, if I write it down, I write it in a language that only I can understand. My own symbolic Brumian language, okay? But it's a good idea to go through those commandments and write them down. So you go to the priest, you just go through it. And also don't confuse spiritual direction with confession. I spiritually direct a few people, but I confess a lot. Those people who make confession every month, every 3 weeks, okay, 3, 4, 5 minutes is enough. Spiritual direction can be between a half hour and an hour. See the difference? So, you want to make sure that you're... Do you remember Dragnet with Friday? Remember him? He would say, just the facts, ma'am. Just the facts, ma'am. When you go to confession, just the sins, ma'am. Just the sins, ma'am. Just the sins, ma'am. Just the sins, ma'am. The younger generation, you don't remember Dragnet, but he said, just the facts, ma'am. So... You want to make sure that you're confessing your sins, and not that of your husband or your mother-in-law, okay? So go through the Ten Commandments and write them down. Second step. If you don't arrive at the second, third step, your confession might even be invalid. So the second step is this. Contrition, you have to be sorry for your sins. Right? You have to be sorry for them. So if you just pay lip service, as they say in Spanish, por la boca fuera, you speak a good Mexican Spanish, right? Just lip service, that's not good enough. You have to enter into your heart and tell God you're sorry. The essence of a good confession is, Lord, I'm sorry because sinning, I hurt you. I love you, Lord. I don't want to do anything in my life to hurt you again. I love you. So I'm really sorry because by sinning, it's not simply breaking a commandment, but breaking the heart of God. Fulton Sheen, define sin as hurting the one you love. Best definition. Very personalistic. Breaking a commandment, okay, that's got some lawyers here, legalistic, okay? But hurting the one you love is the best definition. Not so much breaking a commandment, breaking God's heart. We don't want to do that. Okay, now in contrition, there are two different types. There is what is called imperfect contrition and perfect contrition. Okay, technically, imperfect is called attrition, okay, and perfect is called contrition of love. Okay, imperfect contrition is enough. It's enough to receive absolution. But you want to be aiming at perfect contrition. So before you confess, you have to beg the Lord for the grace to make a good confession. I pray for you, but you've got to beg the Lord with all your heart, Lord, help me make the best confession in my life. Beg it. Beg for it. Maybe a little bit of penance. A little bit of fasting. A little bit of penance. To bring down God's grace upon me. Okay, so what is imperfect? Probably most of you remember when you studied your catechism that there are seven gifts of the Holy Spirit. Okay? I doubt any of you would be able to name all of them, but you probably know one or two. Okay? Okay, one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit is called fear of the Lord, which the Bible says is the beginning of wisdom. And Aquinas says the most important is wisdom, but the first in operation is fear of the Lord. In operation. So you don't want to commit mortal sin, because if you die in mortal sin, unrepentant, you meditated upon the last things, right? 2 weeks ago? Remember that? If you die in unrepentant mortal sin because of our own fault, we lose God for all eternity with hell. Now that thought of hell, elicits within my heart a healthy fear of not wanting to offend God. That's imperfect. And there will be people that are saved for all eternity because they didn't have a great love for God, but they had a fear of the Lord's punishment. That might get them into purgatory for 1,000 years. But at least they're going to get out. Purgatory is temporary. Like in New York Penn Station. Okay, it's temporary. Okay? Not permanent. It's temporary. Hell is forever. So is heaven. So you're tempted to commit a serious sin, and you think, well, I don't want to lose my soul. Okay, that's good. But we want to go beyond that. What is perfect contrition? I don't want to sin because God loves me and I love God. And I don't want to do anything to jeopardize or hurt my relationship with a God that loves me so much. See the difference? Now you want to beg for both. Beg for both. Okay, fear the Lord, yes, but you want to even go beyond that. You want to make a confession, telling God you're sorry because you love Him, and you're going to do all you possibly can to avoid hurting God in the future. Okay, so there we have the second step of a good confession. Now the third is the following. Firm purpose of amendment. What does firm purpose of amendment mean? It's related to contrition. If you don't have firm purpose of amendment, your contrition is going to be very incomplete. So firm purpose of amendment means that you are going to do all in your power to avoid the near occasion of sin. Remember we talked about Adam and Eve? Eve was near the forbidden fruit, right? That was the first problem. She was close to that forbidden fruit. Why was she close to the forbidden fruit in the first place? She placed herself in the near occasion of sin. What is the forbidden fruit that attracts you? You did the capital sins, right? All of you know what, you know it now, right? Hello? You did the capital sins. You know what is the forbidden fruit that kind of seduces you, it kind of pulls you. And we're all different. I'll give you an example from one of the greatest classics. Have any of you ever heard of, have any of you, you've all heard of St. Augustine, right? Okay, any of you ever read Confessions? Okay, Confessions. It's one of the greatest literary classics in the world. You're probably in the top five. Okay, I'll give you one chapter to illustrate my point. Okay, St. Augustine, before he was baptized, had his best friend, his name was Alypius, kind of a weird name. Okay? Alypius. And they're both going to be baptized by St. Ambrose in the Duomo of Milan. Because St. Ambrose is the one that actually baptized St. Augustine. Now, all of you know what was St. Augustine's capital sin? It was lust, right? He was a slave to lust until he was 31. He said, "Lord, give me chastity, but not yet, not yet, not yet." He was a sex addict. As many people have that addiction. He knew that he shouldn't give in to that, but his will was so vitiated and weak that he just intellectually knew he had to give it up, but he was just too weak to give it up. And he was struggling till finally he was given the grace. But, okay, Alypius and Augustine were best friends, both intellectuals, and they're both heading toward being baptized. Now, Alypius, Augustine would tell him about his sexual escapades. And Alypius said, that's so stupid. How could anyone have a sexual addiction? But Alypius, you know what he liked? He liked the gladiators when they throw the people to the lions. He loved that. And Augustine couldn't understand how could anyone in their right mind like to go to the gladiators and see these guys throwing the lions. I mean, it's just totally alien to him. So both of them are going to become baptized and really good Christians, but two totally different temptations. Alypius, how could he be addicted to sex? That's the asco, as they say in Spanish, no? Es asqueroso, no? Whereas Augustine, how could you possibly watch a lion eating a person, you know, having Cracker Jacks as you're watching that, no? So all of us have our forbidden fruit. And by now, if you did the capital sins, you know exactly what it is. Right? If you did it last week, you see these exercises arrive at a point where all of you are like a ripe fruit ready to go to confession, you see? Now these meditations, you're spending 3 weeks on sin in one way or another. Now you're a ripe fruit ready to be picked. Okay, now, okay, what is your predominant weakness? What is your near occasion of sin? He who plays with fire is going to get burnt, right? Hello? He who walks in a slippery slope will? Okay, we in the East Coast. He who walks on thin ice is going to fall in. So, You have to step back and see, okay, my weak point, you're going to be weak. Also, you're going to have a certain time of the day when you're weakest. Now, if you pray over that, the Holy Spirit is going to point out, that's when you're weakest, so you've got to be really careful in that time. So true. Might be, you know, you hear your alarm clock, you don't want to get out of bed because you have a tendency to be lazy. That might be your first battle. Not hitting the snooze button. Right? Could be. Why did the man throw the alarm clock out the window? He wanted to see time fly, right? Okay. The first joke I learned in first grade. Huh? So, know yourself. If you have a tendency to drink, you can't go to the bar with your friends. The cantina. Hey, there's Juan. Hey, Juan, échate una nomás. No says mandilón. Not mandolina, mandilón. Huh? The Mexicans love that baby, huh? You can't go to the bar because you're not going to be able to, you can't control yourself. You can't keep away from that. So know yourself. See, what is your weak point? Do all you possibly can to keep away from that forbidden fruit. Got it? Okay, fourth step. You haven't arrived at the confessional yet. Now you arrive at the confessional. Don't run away from the confessional, because you see, some people are tempted not to go, okay? Have any of you read the Diary of Saint Faustina? You like it? It's great, isn't it? If you haven't, read it. The diary, there's a number, some numbers that speak about confession. One number, Jesus says to St. Faustina, three qualities of a good confession. You listening? Okay. Transparency, humility, and obedience. Write that down. I'll memorize it. Okay. Transparency, humility, and obedience. Transparency means this: try to be as clear as possible. Transparency is a sign of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. What's the opposite of transparent? The English majors, murkiness, right? No Spanish, turbio, okay? Murky. So, transparency, clarity is a sign of the good spirit. Be clear. Spanish is say, si mar pan pan y vino vino, okay? Yeah. And humility. Don't try to justify it. Father, I fight with my husband, but if you knew him, oh! If you knew that guy, you know, there's some pride in that. There's some pride in it. I'm using a New York expression. You're putting whipped cream over cow dung. We New Yorkers, we're very graphic, huh? You fight with your husband, okay? He's got a tough temperament, but maybe you've got to be a little bit more patient, a little bit more humble. Maybe you've got to listen a little bit more. See how easy we can rationalize. So you're diminishing the efficacy of it when you're adding your own pride to it. You know what I'm talking about, no? So try to be humble and obedient. priest says, okay, your penance? Now, what do you say? Okay, five Hail Marys. How about two, Father? Come on. Okay. Two rosaries, no? Don't fight with the priest. Obey. I already talked about the importance of knowing how to obey. All right. So, you go into confession. Those are the three interior qualities of a good confession. Okay, let me tell you the mechanics of a good confession the way we were taught 50, 60 years ago. Very few ever do it this way, but maybe you can learn to confess starting off right. You come in the confessional, you know, the church allows behind the screen or face to face, you can choose. Okay? But how many people know how to start the confession today? Barely anyone. But it's not complicated. Yeah. Okay, you start by the sign of the cross, but then you start by saying, bless me, Father, for I have sinned. My last confession was a month ago. These are my sins. It's a general confession. If you do that, that's a really good start. Because I, in my family, my older brother is he's a physician. He's a surgeon. Okay, he's a spine surgeon. I'm a soul surgeon. Okay, well, the parents, they got a spine surgeon and a soul surgeon. You go to my brother, when was the last time you had a checkup on your back? Okay, are these X-rays? If it was 50 years ago, he's going to have to go, no, I just came, 48 hours ago. There's a huge difference. So telling the priest the time, being spiritual physicians, that helps us out. And especially if you go behind the screen, especially in L.A., you should start, not the priest. You know why? Because I don't know what language to speak. So you should start first. Because if not, I start first. I start to speak in Spanish. You say, I'm Filipino. You know, I speak English. Okay. So I'm already disturbed. I'm already angry inside. I've got feelings too. We started off on the wrong foot. You already start arguing. You don't understand me. But I love it when someone comes in, kneels down, sign of the cross, bless me, Father, for I have sinned. My last confession was 3 weeks ago. These are my sins. Oh boy, smaller penance. Man. That was great. I mean, very rarely you hear that today, but I'm involved in catechesis. I try to teach the little children. This is the way you start off, you know? It really helps out the priest if you can do that. And then go into your sins. You're going to have your list. So it might appear to be somewhat monotonous, but just read through the sins. And with as little commentary as possible, if you want some type of clarification, maybe ask to talk with the priest, with me or maybe one of the priests here, or you go to another parish, to expound upon your problem aside. Because if you're there in the confessional for an hour and you got 25 people waiting, they're going to lynch you afterward, okay? So our hope is that, don't groan, you want to try to get it done within 10 minutes. Now, if I were in the backwoods of Wyoming, there were only 5 people doing the exercises, I could give each of you half hour to 45 minutes. But here you have the biggest diocese in the country, L.A. And here we are, 250 people here. When I go to Paramount, we got about 300. So I'm dealing with a good 500 people now. That's a lot. So you want to try to be concise and clear. These are my sins. Go through it. And the mortal sins, you have to tell the number of mortal sins. Number and species. Species would be this. Is premarital sex and adultery the same thing? Hello?
Yeah.
No. Premarital sex, boyfriend, girlfriend sex. Adultery is you're a married woman and you cheat on your spouse. Which is more serious?
Adultery.
So they're both mortal sins. Now if you commit a homosexual act, even though that's being promoted far and wide, objectively that's worse because it's against nature. Okay? It's against nature. So you want to specify in the sixth and ninth commandment what type of sin it was. And the number of times. Alright, then, after you finish, it's a good way to say, Father, I'm sorry for all these sins, and all the sins I'm not aware of. Father, give me penance and absolution. Good way to end. And then you say the act of contrition. Do you have it memorized? Only 25% of you. The young people, no Father, no Father, no. We try to memorize it. Okay? You got a memory, you're an engineer, you got to memorize a whole book. Try to memorize 50 words, right? It's worth trying to memorize the act of contrition. If you know it in Spanish, okay. I mean, I speak Spanish. Okay? Señor mi Jesucristo. Okay? Whatever way you want, but say the act of contrition. And then the priest gives you absolution. Okay? But you're not finished. Go out and do your penance. And I would say, do the penance as soon as possible. If it ever happens that the priest gives you penance you can't do, if I give you penance you can't do, tell me! I mean, as a priest I can absolve you, but I can't read your mind. I can't read your mind. I'm not Padre Pio yet. Maybe one day I can, no? But I'm always very persnickety in the fact I want to make sure you can't do the penance. With older people, I'll actually say the penance with them and make sure that because they'll get 90 years old, they'll have memory. Okay, we'll say the Hail Mary together. So we'll get that penance done, okay? I was formed in Rome. My formator said, whatever the penance is, double it. I've always tried to do that. The priest gives me decade, I'll say a whole rosary. Because I'm showing goodwill. I want to do double or triple the penance. If I have the attitude, the Lord sees that I really want to make a good confession. Amen?
Amen.
So my friends, this is going to be the best experience in your life. It's going to be the best experience in your life. I've already prayed, offered a mass, so I'm going to be making a novena for you. Say, thank you, Father.
Thank you, Father.
So starting tomorrow, every day for 9 days, I'll be offering a secondary intention in my Mass to all of you. You'll be on the altar. That this will be the best experience in your life. Amen?
Amen.
God bless you.
Thank you, Father.
Okay, announcement about the General Confession. This is for first-time people only.